Michelle Tafoya joins us on Sports Byline. She is a fine sideline reporter for NBC's Sunday Night Football in America, but she's also acknowledged as one of the best in the business for her versatility and professionalism, for handling assignments from studio hosting to reporting to play-by-play. And she is certainly one of the women who has helped open the door for women in sports broadcasting, among others, Leslie Visser, Robin Roberts, and Andrea Kramer. You know, Michelle, when I think about your career, I'm just wondering, as you sit back and reflect on it, are you surprised at the path you took, and what surprises you the most about the success that you've had?
Wow. The path I took was so circuitous. I think I started later in my life than most people start in this pursuit, and so that may have been a good thing, that may not have been a good thing, I don't know, but I guess I just am so thrilled that I am working with people that I love working with, that that my confidence has grown, that I still get nervous before a game, which is a good sign because it means it still matters to me and I care, and that I've found the life balance that I really enjoy. I guess those are the surprises. I guess that's it. I've been doing it for so long now that there aren't that many surprises anymore. I just really have found a good place, and that was what I was hoping for. So if there's any surprise, it's that I actually got to a place that I hoped I would find.
You grew up in Southern California. You went to the University of California, got a degree in mass communications, a master's in business from USC. And I'm just wondering, your interest in sports, take me back to when that first began.
Oh, my gosh. I was raised by both my parents, but my dad was a huge sports fan. He grew up in San Francisco. He went to games at Kezar Stadium. He was a huge 49ers fan, a San Francisco Giants fan. He was just a huge influence. And for him, it was always important that we get the experience not only of playing sports, but of witnessing great events. When the 1984 Olympics were in Los Angeles, he made sure that he had staked out the right parking spot, and he bought tickets for all these events because he wanted his family to experience that. He loved track and field. He also went to Cal. And he just instilled in us a passion. And we lived in Southern California, but ultimately wound up with 49ers season tickets, and we would make the trek up there for every home game, and we were just ardent. And that's really where I fell in love with the NFL. I mean, my brother was a great athlete and a basketball player, and I love basketball as well, but the NFL was really what I fell in love with, and I credit that to the exposure that my dad gave me to the game.
What was the first game he ever took you to?
It was the 49ers at the Rams at the L.A. Coliseum. Boy, this dates me, doesn't it, Ron? But this was back in the day. And, this was when the 49ers were really pretty bad. And I lived in L.A., and so many of my friends were Rams fans. But I do remember it. I remember it was a hot day, and that I was probably being one of those pesky kids just saying, Dad, can I please go get another soda? I'm so thirsty. But, I remember that one. But I also remember the first baseball game he took me to. Get this. It was an Angels game versus the Minnesota Twins, and Nolan Ryan pitched a no-hitter for the Angels on that night. And I thought that every baseball game was going to be that exciting. No, it was phenomenal. So he was great at exposing all of his kids to these wonderful events, and it certainly made us all big sports fans.
And getting the mass communications degree from Cal, was that because you wanted to go into sports broadcasting?
Not at that time. I thought I wanted to be a news journalist, and that was my intent. And, so I got that degree, and I went and I did an internship in Washington, D.C., watching how news got made. And I got a little bit disillusioned at that time, or maybe, Ron, I should say, I also got a little bit scared. I saw how competitive the business is. I didn't know, what if I don't make it? How will that be? What will I do then? And so a couple years later, I decided to get a master's in business as a fallback, as kind of that plan B. If things don't go right in some other place, I'll have this. But it was while I was in school getting my master's in business that I thought, I am too in love with sports. I love broadcasting. I've got to somehow make these two mesh. And at that time, people like that you mentioned, Leslie Visser, Robin Roberts, I looked up to so much. And I thought, I think I can do this. I really think I can do this. Now, did I think I'd end up on Sunday Night Football at that time? Heck no. But I felt like I could do it, and I just was very, very determined.
You know, comfort has a lot to play in people's careers, and you know the adage as well as I do, man's failures are chronicled on the front page, man's successes are chronicled on the sports page. Did that factor into your attitude?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I sometimes looking at the news every day was really depressing, and I thought, gosh, is this what I want to do every single day? Whereas sports was always fun. It was upbeat. Now, I know there are some stories, and we can, you know, look at any era that are in sports that take on a different tone, and they're not, maybe they're political, maybe they're violent, maybe they're criminal, maybe they have to do with sports bullying, but for the most part, covering a live event is like covering breaking news every single second because you have no idea what's going to happen next, and it's just something you can have fun with and won't stress you out at the end of the day.
Yeah, the other thing I thought about is the fact that when you think about sports, you think about the people that are involved with sports. I find it fascinating because most fans, most people cannot relate to being able to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball or shoot a three-pointer at a clutch moment and everything. And yet the human part of the athlete and the people associated with sports I find fascinating. Do you approach it the same way, Michelle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's what most people attach themselves to. Yes. There are those exciting moments that you talked about. If you're hitting a home run, if a great golf shot by Tiger Woods. But why are the Olympics so popular every 4 years or now every 2 years and alternating seasons? Because of the people and because of the stories associated with them. And I think that we cheer for the people, ultimately. Now, there are Packers fans who will always be Packers fans no matter who wears their jerseys. But they sure did love Brett Favre because he was Brett Favre. And they sure do love Aaron Rodgers because of his person, his personality and who he is. You could say that for just about any team, and it's the people that write these stories for themselves through their successes, through their failures, that you come to want to follow, it's the most engaging thing, I think, about it. You love seeing an underdog have success. All of those things seem to me to trump the actual, you know, that the moment of the touchdown or the 52-yard run. Wins and losses are certainly things that carry people too, but I think storylines trump them all.
You know, from a societal standpoint, of course, that the pendulum has to swing from one side to another before it gets to the middle. And I'm just wondering, had a lot of my friends that were African-American and even some women as they were trying to get into newscasting, and it was difficult for them. I would think that pendulum being on the side that wasn't going to accept women was probably over there for a long period of time. In the early part of your career, how did you deal with that, and what did you face?
I remember when I was going off to take my first full-time job in radio in Charlotte, North Carolina, that my dad said to me, you know, don't worry about this male-female thing. He said, I remember when Barbara Walters first became an anchor, and I thought, oh, what's she doing there? Now, this dates my dad. But, you know, he said, ultimately, I came to trust her because she proved herself, and I found her very trustworthy. And my attitude going in was, I'm not going to look at myself as a female sports reporter. I'm going to look at myself as a sports reporter and take that part out of it. I'm not going in with a chip on my shoulder. I know I'm going to have to prepare five times harder than any male is because of the scrutiny. But you know what? If that's what it's going to take, then that's what I'm going to do. Simple as that. I'm not going to resent it. I'm going to look at that. Those are the facts. That is reality. Ideally, would I want it to be different? Well, sure. I mean, ideally, there are so many things in the world we want to change, but what we have to deal with are just the plain facts. And the facts were, yes, women were going to be more scrutinized. That meant if you wanted to succeed, you better darn well be prepared. But at the same time, I just wasn't going to go in there and try to distinguish myself as a female sports reporter. I wanted to compete with everybody, and that's what I did.
We have a minute before we have to break, but Michelle, you had three areas that you had to satisfy. You had to satisfy the bosses who might be prejudiced against having a woman report sports. You had, of course, the fans themselves who might not be willing to hear a female voice. And then you had the athletes themselves. Which was the tougher of the three to convert?
Oh, I would probably say the fans. I think the bosses, they hire you because they see something in you. So they're pulling for you. The athletes were, I never ran into an uncomfortable situation, not once. Now, were they looking askance when I walked by and then kind of, you know, were they thinking something of me? Maybe, but they never bothered me. But the fans, and particularly when I worked in sports talk radio, I once made the bold prediction in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the radio, that Cal would beat Duke in the NCAA tournament, and I got mocked for a week, got ridiculed, got called all kinds of things, and, you know, you just with your heart. Well, guess what? Cal beat Duke in the tournament that year, and the next week my credibility soared. You've got to get through some of those things, and you've got to be tough enough to stand by your guns and win those people over and prove to them, and it takes time, that you're credible.
One of the best in our business is with us on Sports Byline, Michelle Tafoya, sideline reporter for NBC Sunday Night Football in America. We'll continue talking about her career as we move across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.